Welcome to A Week into Grace. I'm Chad Roberts. I'm so glad you're joining me today because we are in part two of our current study of the Church of Sardis. We're walking through all seven of the churches of Revelation. And today we begin chapter three with the Church of Sardis. And we're going to see today the incredible promise that Jesus gives to those who conquer sin in this life, to those who overcome. The Bible says we will be clothed in white. Well, you know, this was a remarkable thing to say to the people of Sardis because Sardis was one of the centers of trade and garment production in the ancient world. They were known for their garments. And Jesus says, for those who do not soil their garments, they will thus be clothed in white. Friends, we're going to go to Revelation 19, and we're going to see how Jesus relates this to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. I hope you enjoy today. I hope you grow from today's study out of Revelation 3 on the Church of Sardis.
I can barely see out of the bottom of my eye, but I could see it for myself. When John Mark would breathe, his breathing was very shallow, and you could see all of his little ribs in his rib cage. And she said, Chad, I think he's a bit premature. Well, you can imagine how much that scared me. She showed me his feet, and I may have this backward at this point. Either it had wrinkles or it didn't have wrinkles. I think it had wrinkles. It wasn't good. And she said, this means he's early. He's premature. She bent his legs in a certain way. And she said, see, Chad, they're not supposed to bend this way. He's a little bit premature. Well, I'm falling apart inside. I'm saying, are we going to take him to Nicewanger? Does he need to be in a NICU? I mean, what are we going to do? And she said, oh, no, calm down. She said, he's fine. She said, we're going to put him underneath a heating lamp. I said, like a French fry lamp? You know, like you see in restaurants? And she said, well, sort of. And she said, we're going to put him underneath a heating lamp for about 30 minutes or an hour, and he's going to be fine. And thank God he was fine. But you know what I noticed? For the next 2 days while we were in the hospital with him, I counted it. 12 different nurses came to check him. One nurse would come and just check his temperature, and she was out the door. Another nurse would come and check his breathing. Another nurse would come and check his stool. Another nurse would come and check his lungs. And just, I mean, 12 different, rather than one nurse just going down a checklist, no, 12 different nurses came and stabilized him and made sure he was okay. You know what the Lord spoke to me in that hospital room that day? The Lord said, Chad, do you do that with new believers in your church? Do you check them? Do you make sure they own a Bible? Do you make sure they've been baptized? Do you make sure that they know the foundations of faith? Do you make sure they know how to join a small group? Do you make sure they know their next steps? I tell you, if anywhere that we collectively as a church, where we failed is we do not stabilize people, do we? And Jesus tells us, strengthen. In other words, stabilize those who are weak. I'm very excited that next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. My friends, if you have never been baptized, if you have never followed the Lord Jesus Christ in public testimony baptism, do it next Sunday. And let me tell you, we've never had a casualty. So you're going to be fine. Amen? I remember when I've told the story before, but when I was baptized, I was so scared to get baptized. I was so nervous. And I don't know why. Nothing had ever happened at our church. No one had ever drowned. But I was scared. Oh, I was so nervous. And my mom, she nagged me and nagged me and nagged. The Holy Spirit didn't even have to deal with me because mom was all over me. And she came to me time and time again, Chad, you want to get baptized? You need to get baptized. And I was young. I was probably 11 or 10. Man, she was, Chad, you need to be baptized. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. Finally, our church was doing a baptism on Sunday night. And she came to me during the service, said, Chad, you need to be baptized. Are you going to do it? You going to do it? And just to get her to quit, I said, yes, I'll do it. She went straight and told the pastor. The pastor came straight to the podium and said, Brother Chad's going to be baptized tonight. And there was no way out. Amen. And you know what? I was amazed when I got baptized. I couldn't believe why I resisted. Why? I followed the Lord. Satan doesn't want you to be baptized. He'll try to intimidate you and scare you and all this mess. No, my friends, take the step of obedience and follow your Lord in public baptism. Amen? Well, then, baptism is next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, we began our new believers class. And I'm so excited about this. If you're young in your faith, and I'll even say this, if you've been saved for years, but you feel like you were never given that firm foundation, you were never given those touch points to make sure you're growing the way you should grow, then sign up for our new believers class. It'll be between our two services at 10 a.m. For the next few Sundays. Sign up for it and grow in your faith. Amen? So this is what it means. Strengthen that which remains. Stabilize that which remains before it dies. And then he says, I've not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Now notice verse 3, what does he say? Remember what you have heard and received and keep it and repent. You know what I believe he's saying there, church? I believe he's saying, don't be hearers of the word only, be doers of the word. Don't just hear the word, do the word. Amen? How many of you come Sunday after Sunday? Don't get me wrong, I'm glad you're here. I praise God that you're here. But how many of you come Sunday after Sunday and you hear, but you rarely do? Keep the word. Apply the word of God to your daily lives. Amen? Apply it. Keep it. Guard it. Hold fast to it. And then notice what he says. Or else I'll come against you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come against you. Now, many times Jesus references the rapture of the church to this phrase called as a thief in the night. But that's not what he's speaking of here. He's not speaking of his rapture. He's not speaking of the coming to the church, to take the church. What's he speaking of? He's speaking of judgment. I believe, historically, he's reminding the Christians of this city, you know what it is to lose your city. You know what it is to be sneaked up on. And I'll come to you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come. What sobering words from the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he's going to give some good news. And look at the positive. And this is where I think you and I come into play. At least it's where we can come into play. He says, but you have some in Sardis. You have some names in Sardis. Some people who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, what an interesting thing to say to a major trade center at the junction of five main roads on the Imperial Highway, who's famous for what did we say? The production of wool garments. And Jesus says, you have some who've not soiled their garments, and they're going to walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Hallelujah. And look at the next verse. This is so beautiful. To the one who conquers, to the one who overcomes, he will be clothed thus in white garments. Hallelujah. Friends, do you know what Jesus is speaking of right here? I'm going to have you turn for the next couple of moments and just follow me on this, because this is exhilarating to me. It's thrilling to me. Go to Revelation chapter 19 and look at verse 8. In Revelation 19, the Bible teaches that there's going to be the greatest of all weddings of human history. You know who performed the first wedding of human history, don't you? God Almighty. He told Adam, "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?" He said, "If any would have anything to say, let him speak now, or forever hold his peace." Actually, he didn't. He didn't say any of that. But he did the first wedding, right? Adam and Eve. God himself officiated the first wedding in human history. And the Bible says there's going to be a final wedding of human history, and it's going to be the greatest wedding of all human history, of all time. And it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And it's where the church, us, blood-bought saints, are going to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So you have to understand, God has three categories of people. God has the Old Testament saints. God has the New Testament saints, which are us. We're included in that. We're the blood-bought, grace, saved by grace. We are the New Testament church age. And then God will have the tribulation saints. Well, who are the guests at the great marriage supper of the Lamb, according to Revelation 19? Old Testament saints and tribulation saints. But who are the participants? Christ the groom and the church as the bride. Amen? Now look at verse 8. This is where it gets really exciting. Look at verse 8. And it was granted to her. Who's her? Us, the church of Jesus Christ. And it was granted to her that she should adorn herself with the finest of white linens. Hallelujah. Do you see what Jesus is telling the church of Sardis? Now stay right there, because I'm not done. Do you see what he's telling the church of Sardis? If you overcome sin, if you conquer sin in this life, there is a marriage to come. If you don't soil your life with the flesh, with your fleshly desires and your fleshly sin, if you do not soil your garments, you are going to walk with me, and I'm going to give you a garment that is heavenly. And you're going to be married to me. And it's going to be granted to you that you have the finest of all white linen. And notice what the end of verse 8 says. What's this white linen made of? You ready for this? The righteous deeds done by the saints. Do you know what that means, my friends? That means every single thing you do for the Lord, every sacrifice you make, everything you give, every time you go the extra mile, every time you serve, every time you give your best to the Lord, do you know it never goes unnoticed? Do you know what, according to this verse, do you know what you and I are doing right now in this life, on this earth? You and I are threading our garments in heaven with the deeds we do on this earth. How long has it been since you've done something righteous for the Lord? How long has it been since you made a sacrifice on behalf of King Jesus? How long has it been since you've given your best? You've given your all. You've laid it on the table. You've given all that you, all of you, to the kingdom of God. Friends, right now you are threading your heavenly garments. And how well dressed you are up there very well depends on how well you live down here. So what's God telling you to do? What's God asking of you? What's God calling you to? Friends, don't lose sight. Listen, I can feel the Holy Spirit right now. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. There are some of you that have grown weary and you're doing well. You've grown weary. You're contemplating quitting. You're contemplating stepping down. You're contemplating stopping your ministry to the Lord. Let me tell you, my friend, let me exhort you with all that I have. Don't stop. Because it's your righteous deeds that's creating your garments in heaven. They matter to the Lord. And one day when we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we'll be dressed in the finest of white linen. What a day that will be. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's he say to the church of Sardis? You'll be clothed thus in white garments. And now notice what he says. And I will not blot your name out of the book of life. You remember that old song? Harold Kelly sang it last year. You remember that old song? I know my name is there. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a shameful record. Hallelujah. How many of you know my name is in the Lamb's book of life? What did Jesus tell his followers? Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Amen? Friends, that's why the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. What a major deal. And then lastly, and I want you to turn to Jude chapter 1, verse 24, and I'll begin to close with this. Now notice, Jesus says, you'll be dressed to the one who conquers, you will be dressed in white garments. Your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. And then notice what he says, I will confess you before my Father. And before his angels. Now, what does this mean? Go to Jude 1:24. Notice what Jesus says. Now, notice verse 23. We are not to be stained. We're not to stain our garments with the flesh. You see that in verse 23? Isn't it amazing how Scripture all ties together? And now look what verse 24 says. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, hallelujah, and to present you blameless before his glory with great joy. Friends, you know what the Bible says in Hebrews? That it was for the joy that was set before him that Jesus endured the cross. What was the joy set before him? I believe it's Jude 1:24. That one day he's going to present me, and if you're born again, one day he's going to present you before all of his glory, his Father, the angels. He's going to present us blameless with great joy. He'll confess you before his Father. What a precious thing that is. So friends, are you living for this life? Are you living for the here and the now? Are you living for the next day, the next week, the next month, the next vacation, the next home, the next thrill? Or are you really living for eternity? Because let me tell you, Revelation tells us how to prepare for eternity. I want to be one who overcomes. I want to be one who conquers. Are you conquering sin in your life right now? Are you conquering your flesh? Are you conquering temptation? Or are you dead? Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes, please. I don't know your life. I don't know where you are. I don't know. I don't live with you. I may know you here, but I don't know you at home. Are you fake? Are you phony? Are you just spiritual? Because let me tell you, friends, spirituality doesn't cut it. You got to be a conqueror. You got to conquer sin as Jesus conquered sin. And you can't do that apart from Jesus. Why don't you stand with me today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Is Jesus speaking to your life? Is he speaking to your heart? Let me tell you, one of the greatest steps to being a conqueror, that's to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he knocking at your heart today? Is he speaking to you? Has he been speaking to you? Why don't you surrender to him today? Everyone praying all over the building. Lord Jesus, help us to yield to you. Help us to yield. Help us to repent, Lord. You tell your church, remember what you've heard and received. Keep it and repent. God, we do that right now. Right now, as you pray, I want to open our altars. If you need to come and pray for any reason, you may be going through a trial right now. You may be going through a storm right now. You may need strength today. You may need salvation today. You may have a loved one that you're praying. I don't know. Whatever you need, why don't you come forward if you need prayer today? We have deacons and deacon wives and other leaders who will pray with you. Why don't you slip out of your seat? And why don't you come and stand or kneel or sit down on the platform? Why don't you come and get help today from the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't walk out our doors the same way you walked in. Walk out different today. Let the Lord come and help you and minister to you. All of the building, everybody praying right now. Lord, we thank you for your words of warning to Sardis. We thank you, Lord God, for what you said to these people, to this city, to this time period, and now to us today. Jesus, we take your words literal. We take your words serious, and we act upon them. Oh God, I repent today. I repent of shortcomings. I repent of at times being passive. I repent, Lord God. Times I failed in temptation. Times I have failed in pride and arrogance and boastfulness. God, I repent. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. While some are praying today, do you need to repent from sin? Listen, Jesus says he'll take you from death unto life. If you're here today or you're watching online and you want to repent of sin, I want you to pray with me right now. Pray this right now with me. Right now in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me, a sinner. I come today a sinner in need of a great Savior. Become my Savior and my Lord. Forgive my sin. Make me new, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Clothe me in white in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, if you prayed that prayer, please let us know today. Let us know that you prayed that prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Revive your church, Lord. Revive us. Revive us.